Let's everybody sing. God is so. Jesus is real. Everybody. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. What did he do? He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. And he made me. What will we do? I praise his name. I praise his name. He's so good to me. Please be seated. Thank you, folks. Harrison, you did a good job. Appreciate the good prayer, Jeff, and good singing, Steve. You're being here today. Happy New Year. Today is the beginning of a brand new year as far as our service is concerned and service unto God. Happy New Year to all of you. Sure am glad I got to live to this day. Hope you are too. 2016. Can you imagine that? You're living and I'm living in this day. The Bible tells us about a man. His name is Hezekiah. We love the Bible. It's a lamp on our feet and a light into our path. Psalms 119 in verses 104 and 105. The Bible tells us, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's the word of God, Hebrews 4, verse 12. I hope you read it, study it, think about it, believe it, tell others about it. There was a man that had some bad news by the prophet. Bad news for him because he wanted to live longer. He wanted more time upon the earth. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. Here comes the message. The message from Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die not. Just let that go over in your mind. Imagine. Here's the prophet of God, Isaiah, told by God to go and tell this man that he is going to die. But God is so good to him, he said, you do something, that is, set your house in order. Will he do it? A man is a fool if he does. A lot of fools. Here the Bible tells us this man turned his face to the wall. He prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I've walked before thee in truth. Lord, I ask you, just look at my life. What I've been trying to do is to serve you. I've walked before you in truth and with a complete and perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. You know I've tried. Lord, I want to be just what you want me to be. And then he weeps. The reaction of this man with this news, he's saying, please, God, give me a little more time. He really wanted more time. He wanted to do more in the service of the Lord. Please, God, give me a little more time. Turned his face to the wall, prayed to the Lord, and he wept so. You think it did any good? What kind of praying did he do? He uttered to God his desire. He loved God. He had been serving the Lord. And now he's asking the Lord something very special. And the reaction of God is seen in the next verses. Is your house in order? What would you do if you were told by the Lord that you're going to die? God's reaction to Hezekiah came to pass before Isaiah was even going out of the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again. Turn again and tell this man that I've been listening to, that I've been observing, this man that I told you to go out there and tell him, set his house in order, or he shall die, not live. Go back and you tell him that the God of David, thy father, he's heard your prayer. Don't you tell me that prayer doesn't do a lot. The Bible tells us that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5, verse 16. Are you a righteous person? Could you go before God today and say, God, give me more time. I need more time. I want more time if it is your will. I want to live a little bit longer. What kind of man are you? Who's praying for you? God said, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. And behold, the God of heaven is saying now. God of heaven said, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. 3 days from now, you're going to be able to go back into the house of the Lord. And I'll add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake. And, boy, right here is something Hezekiah had. He had somebody else who had done him so much good, and that was, for my servant David's sake, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, and I'll give you 15 more years. The power of God. Proof that this will be done? Isaiah said, just take a lump of fig. He took it, laid it on the boil, and recovered it. As God said, show me a miracle. All right? This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Well, Hezekiah answered and said, well, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. But let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down into the dial of Ahaz. And that has caused all kinds of problems with people in this world. If you have some time, just read about the missing time. About the day of Ahaz. Just remember what God did. He had such power. He has such power. And that was to demonstrate what he could do in answer to Hezekiah. I want to talk to everybody in the building. And I went got down there this morning because I wanted to see your faces. Be closer to you. I want your house to be in order. Because I'm here to tell you, I don't know when you're going to die, but I know you're going to die. The Bible tells us to set your house in order. We are to do that. Hezekiah did so. The death rate is 100%. You know that. One death for one birth. Child is born. He lives. Some die in infancy or some die later on. But there is one thing that we know, that when you're born, you're going to die. We need to set our house in order because yesterday, if the statistics are right, some 153,000 people died. Did you realize that 6,390 every hour? That's 107 deaths every minute. No wonder God reminds you and reminds me, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I like that passage in Psalms 90, verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength there are 80 years, what? Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who? We? We're not talking to people out here that won't listen. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5, the living know. What do they know? They know they're going to die. They don't know when. And so what do? They don't set their house in order, and God's given them all this time. And if they're taken from the earth instantaneously like that, just think of an eternity without God. Let's do some New Year's resolutions. Number one, Joshua wrote in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." I asked my class this morning, how many of you read the Bible every day last week? I asked everybody in this building, did you read the Bible at all last week? Did you read it every day? And if you're not doing it, why are you not doing it? We preach. We urge you to do what? To study and read and take time. Read about the judgment in Matthew 25. Read about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. Read about heaven, where we're going if we're faithful to God in Revelation 21. Yes, Joshua was told to meditate on a day and night. John 5, verse 39, listen to what the Lord said. "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life eternal. And they are they which testify of me." Acts 17, verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so." There's no substitute for this book. Oh, we had a good game the other night, didn't we? All the statistics of that game thrilled us to death, us Alabama people. You know it did. Auburn people, they were thrilled with their win. Tennessee people, how many statistics could you give me right now about those games? But can you quote one scripture in the Word of God? Can you from memory quote one scripture? That's why I'm telling these young preachers, I want to hear them. I want to hear them speak, but I want to hear them speak what God says. Study this book. Read this book. Why? This is the answer. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my feet." Will you resolve this morning, January the 30th, I'm jumping ahead of myself, January the 3rd, 2016, to read God's Word every day that God gives you this year. Turn off the television for 15 minutes and do nothing but just read the Word of God. Talk about God's Word. Listen to it. Resolution number one, I will give some time each day to read. "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Psalms 119, verse 11. "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path." Psalms 119, 105. Now, number two. I was thinking this morning what Jesus did for me. Do you realize Jesus suffered? Do you realize how badly he suffered? When I have a little pain, I just get so bothered. I want something to take away that pain. But my Lord was hanging on that cross, suffering and dying. Why? Because he loved me, because he loved you, because he loved everybody, and he was willing to die for you and for me. And you know what he likes? And you know what he wants you to do? God tells you. He wants you to be glad to serve him, just like the psalmist in Psalms 122 and verse 1. "I was glad when they said unto me," what? I wasn't miserable, I wasn't sad, but I was glad, I was happy, joyful. "When they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." In Psalms 121, verse 1, "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my strength. My strength cometh from the Lord." And as Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 14, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You say that? Well, you mean it? You dedicate yourself. Resolve today. To do what? Not forsake the assembly. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together. If you're a disciple, where will you be on the first day of the week? I hope you'll be assembly, if you possibly can, to worship Jehovah God. Number three, settle all problems you have. Most of us have problems. Most of us have heartaches. Family, maybe jobs and different things. Others may have had problems with them, but look what God said in Romans 12, 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Do what? In Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24, if you have aught against your brother, or you remember he had aught against you, you go to your brother and you get it reconciled, then you come and worship God. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Get things settled. Because if you're setting your house in order to die, you're not going to be able to get them all settled after you die. In Ephesians 4, 31, Paul said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Number four, talk to your brethren. Look what the Bible says in Joshua 24. Before Joshua, as he now is an old man, is about ready to leave, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel and for the heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Talk to your brethren and talk to your family. Get ready to die. Set your house in order. Let them know. Let them know that what you really want is for them to live with you in eternity. A personal experience. My brother died December 10th. That week, I was able to sit with him by himself, just he and I. I think he could hear me. And I reached over and I said, Chuck, you know what God tells us, each one? What we have to do to be right with God. I hope you can hear me. In your heart, son, if there's anything at all that's not right with God, I hope and pray that you'll ask His forgiveness, that you'll get ready. Just had a few minutes with Him by Himself. Never will forget those minutes. Talk to your family. To your children. Got one son that doesn't go to church services, and we're doing everything we can. Want you to pray for him that he will. I want him to go to heaven. I love him. He loves me. I know that. Talk to them, though, about getting your house ready. Each one of us. Why? Tell them. God's way is the right way. It's the best way. It is the only way. And I'm here to tell you, after years of serving the Lord, I know that's true. Where would I want to be better than right here? Well, because I love the Lord, I want you to do everything you possibly can to serve Him. In Matt's lesson last week on greed, the world says, show me and I will trust you. God says, trust me, and I will show you. Oh, I love that. Trust in God with all of your heart. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? Put your trust and confidence in God. Abraham Lincoln, in his proclamation of a day of national humiliation, fasting and prayer in 1863. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But We have forgotten God. He adds, we have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched, strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own, intoxicated with unbroken success. We have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming, preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. America needs Christians who say, I believe in God, and show them that you truly do. In James 4, James says, this is from one of the New Testament versions. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. Prepare to meet God. What some need to do about the soul today is obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear the word. Romans 10:17. Believe in Jesus. John 8:24. Repent. Change your heart. Acts 2:38. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:8-10. Be baptized. Be what? Be baptized. Why? Just like Saul was doing now, why terrorist thou? Arise. Be baptized and wash away your sins. Call in on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Those who need to be restored need to repent as Simon did. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. And pray God that the thought of thine own hearts be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity. And confess your faults. Don't be ashamed. Do what God wants you to do. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Ah, a new year, 2016. Someone wrote, a new year is like a blank book. The pen is in your hands. It is your chance to write a beautiful story for yourself. Happy New Year. What are you writing? The Bible says, set your house in order. Hezekiah was going to die and not live. Deanie, I think it was in 2012, if my memory is correct. She handed me this poem. I've used it every year at the conclusion of my first sermon of the year, 2013, 2012, 2014, 15, and now I'm going to use it in 2016. Really a poem that makes us really good. I came to my teacher with quivering lips, my task undone. Teacher, hast thou another sheep for me? I have spoiled this one. She took the old sheet, stained and blotted, and gave me a new one, clean, unspotted, and into my glad face smiled. Do better this time, my child. You can almost see a child. Child who's been granted a sheet to use it to write down and do whatever, and then to see the child at the end saying, I sure have messed it up. I want to tell you something. I think a lot of us messed up 2015. Perhaps the sheet that God gave to you for another year is really hard. The concluding, I came to the Father with a quivering heart, the old year done, never to be recalled again for us. in the sense of living therein. Father, hast thou another year for me? I have spoiled this one. He took the old year, stained and blotted, and gave me a new one, clean and unspotted, and into my glad heart smiled, do better this time, my child. Are we? Are we going to do better in 2016 than we did in 2015? We can talk about resolutions. We can talk about resolving to do this and do that. But unless we carry it out and demonstrate and show we really mean what we're saying, it's not going to do us much good. But we can come to the Father and we can thank God that we have this time together. Another year. Sometime you get ready to set our house in order so that it can truly be a happy new year. Is your soul prepared for heaven today? Hezekiah was told, you're going to die. Set your house in order. And he did exactly that. He did what God wanted him to do. And what a wonderful thing it is to read. Instantly. Before the prophet got out of the court even, God had heard this man's prayer. Will he hear you? He saw this man as he turned his face to the wall. Does he see you? He saw him crying. You got any tears for the junk you and I have been engaged in, done? The garbage we need to get rid of? Sin in our lives? Yes, he cried. He wept. And God heard it. And God said, I'll give you 15 more years. Friends, there's power in heaven today in prayer. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is one to whom we seek to please God and we make our prayers through Him. Be thankful that you are a child of God if you are. And show it. Live it. But if you're not, today become one. Because I'm telling you, set your house in order. We do not know when, but we do know we will die. Who will come to the Master? Not to me. I need Him as much as you. Won't you come to Jesus today? Be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and you've sinned in His, you know you're not right. And you're not ready to die today. What will happen if you do and you don't do anything about your soul? Yes, we're singing the beautiful hymn, just as I am. That's all we can do. We may mess up a lot of garbage in our lives, but we can do something about it if we'll come just as we are and come to the one who is saying to you, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's standing right here beside me, I know, because He's promised where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. And you put your mind and attention to Him. He's inviting you to come to Him. Won't you come to Jesus and obey Him just as you are? While together we stand in love.